My presentation is somewhat related to everything you already talked about, but this is more related to the final, like the end of the cycle. So I'm looking at how those school policies really affected student outcomes in terms of wage status, obesity. So a little bit maybe too academic, I try to make it easier. I have no relationship to disclose. Already our presenter talked about the background information, how states and schools try to reduce obesity by changing their school policies, especially on nutrition and physical activity. But there is little evidence about whether those school policies really affected the end outcome of obesity weight status, and also which school policies, because there are a lot of school policies, but which school policies are really effective in affecting students' weight status. So my research question is, which school policies are effective in high school students' weight status, and whether the policies affect high school students' weight status the same way to boys and girls. I was interested in this question because in previous studies, school policies on especially physical activity have different impact on boys and girls. Mostly it has more impact on girls than boys. And also in another analysis, the school policies on PE requirement has different effect on boys and girls. It had more impact on girls in terms of how many times they really attend the PE physical education, not just you know, as a policy. So this is how things are related. And school policies, we already talked about it. There are a lot of school policies, but there is no guarantee that they are all implemented the same way. So there could be some variation in implementation, but some of them will be implemented and will affect the physical activity and diet of students. And also there are a lot of, you know, factors outside schools. So schools cannot, you know, solve all the problems because there are individual factors and family factors and cultural factors. They all affect physical activity and diet, and also biological factors or genetic factors also will affect body weight. So this is an analysis of mostly two data sets. One is from high schools, it's a state representative high school sample, and also students from 22 states. So I made a state level school policy variables based on the response from schools, and the final analysis was regression to test the effect of state aggregate level school policy on students' weight status. So there are about 3,000 high schools participated in school health profiles in 2008. High school students who participated in their state's 2009 Youth Risk Behavior Survey. This is different from national survey. This is by each state. So they have a little bit differences in terms of their questions. But anyhow, there are about 60,000 students in this sample from 22 states. Why 22 states? Because 20 states had both data on school policy and also individual outcomes. And I also compared whether the states with both data, well, just one data are different, but they were not really different in school policies. So the dependent variable is obesity, based on CDC criteria, gender-specific BMI for age, 95 percentile or above will be defined as obesity. And school variables, school policy related variables are divided into two, nutrition related and physical activity related. Nutrition related variables are the percentage of high schools offering healthy snack choices, including milk, fruit, or non-fried vegetables. The average number of nutrition policies out of nine, I made this list out from factor analysis. So these are the policies related to nutrition in schools. And the percentage of high schools with family community engaged in development and implementation of nutrition policies. You talked about how family and community members, engaged in those policies and implementation. And physical activity related variables are the percentage of high schools requiring physical education for all grades. So 9 to 12 grade, and the percentage of high schools offering intramural sports clubs or clubs, teams or clubs. These are control variables because not just school policies, but individual factors will also affect race status. So age, gender, race, ethnicity, and how many days they are physically active, and whether they drink sugary drink at least once a day in the past 7 days. So I used the sampling weight and survey comments for the data. And these are the state characteristics in terms of school policies. So about 63% of schools offered healthy snack choices like milk, fruit, and vegetables. And about 58% offered intramural sports teams or clubs to students. These are student characteristics, about 60,000, mean age about 16, and about half were male. And these are weight status, so about 15% were overweight, 85 to 59 percentile BMI, and 12% obese, 95 or over percentile BMI. So when I just looked at two variables, at the state level, nutrition policy numbers were related to both whether they required PE for all grades and whether they offer the sports opportunities. So in other words, if they had more nutrition policies, then they were more likely to also require the PE for all grades. And also they were more likely to offer sports teams. Individual level, boys were more likely to be physically active and in sports, but they drank more soda than girls. They had more screen time like TV or computer games. And they ate less fruit or vegetables compared to girls. Higher grade, they go to higher grade, they are less likely to be physically active or in sports. And there was not that much difference in terms of nutrition. African Americans were less likely to be in sports teams or physically active, but had more screen time, more soda consumption than whites. So when I examined the state level school policies and individual outcomes, almost everything was expected in direction. The PA days, physical activity days, and school requiring PE for all grades, that is error. There is no significant association. So if they had nutrition policies, they were less likely to drink soda. The students, they didn't drink soda as much as other schools with less nutrition policies. And these all state policies were related to less odds of obesity. So there is something working. And when I put those things in one model, two school factors were significant. So they had an impact even after controlling for individual factors. So the percentage of schools offering healthy snack choices were related to less obesity. So if there is 10% increase in percent of schools offering healthy snacks, then they were about 42% less likely to be obese. And if they offered sports opportunities, then also it reduced the odds of obesity. So they were both working, even controlling for each other. And of course, if they were physically active, they are less likely to be obese. And they, if they drank soda, they were more likely to be obese. So nothing really surprising. But there was no difference in school policy effect on waist status by gender. So the policies affected the same way for girls and boys. So conclusion, we could see that there were a desirable effect of both nutrition-related and physical activity-related school policies on waist status. So it implies that the importance of addressing both aspects of policies, not just physical activity and nutrition. We all know that, but you know, the data also say that. But there was no difference in school policy effect on wage status by gender. It is different from the difference in physical activity by gender, because this is wage status. So wage status is affected by all kinds of factors, not just physical activity, but also nutrition. Limitations, because it's based on cross-sectional data, and the difference between the interval between school data and student data was only 1 year, so maybe you really didn't see the effect, because it takes some time to see the effect of school policies. And it the measures were at the state level, because there was no direct link between schools and students, so we cannot really see whether each school affected the students by their policies. Also, because not all the individual or family level factors were included, so there are something missing. Like in school, at the school level, other school policies and funding, you know, somebody talked about funding. If they don't have funding, you know, the policy will not be implemented. Food services and actual lunch time for eating, that would, you know, change the behavior. You know, they cannot line up for salad bar if it takes too much time. They rather go to another short line, like, you know, pizza or hamburger. So the time will affect. And other school, non-school factors, like whether they eat a balanced meal at home, or whether they exercise in their family, also transportation. If they walk to school, they, you know, take bus, or somebody drives. Neighborhood safety, if the neighborhood, the residential neighborhood is not safe, you know, then they wouldn't really, you know, go out and exercise outside. Also, food outlets of the neighborhood, whether they have a lot of like chain grocery stores, or if they have more of fast food restaurants in their neighborhoods, that would also affect their nutrition behavior. Because the limitation was about cross-sectional studies, so you cannot really, you know, prove any evidence of whether school policy affected individual outcomes. So, you know, to solve that, we need a longitudinal analysis rather than cross-sectional studies. that's it. Any questions?
She answered all your questions during the presentation. Okay, great.
So just to confirm and understand, it sounds like you look at the individual data the year after you look at the school data. Is that correct? The following year?
School data first 2008 and individual data 2009.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.